Good morning, and welcome to Our Savior Lutheran's Church Sunday Morning Worship Service. This is February 5th, 2023, fifth Sunday after Epiphany. We gather here each Sunday morning at 10 a.m. to worship in person. And for those of you joining us by radio WPHM 1380 at 11 a.m., we welcome you. Service recordings are available at www.wpham.net/podcast/Our Savior. And we'd like to thank our broadcast sponsor this day, Stan and Patricia Arnett. And they do so in loving memory of Stan and Catherine Arnett, AKA Miss A, our junior choir director for over 35 years. We thank you, Stan and Patricia. We welcome our worship leader this day, Pastor Charlie Martin. Myself, Helen D. Terry, will be assisting with today's readings. And we welcome, warmly welcome, our accompanist this day, Carol Cataldo. Our sound tech, Denver D. Terry. And we thank all who are participating in service this morning. Light shines in the darkness for the upright, the psalmist sings. Isaiah declares that when we lose the bonds of injustice and share our bread with the hungry, the light breaks forth like dawn. In another passage from the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus, the light of the world, calls his followers to let the light in them, through him, shine before others, and their good works give glory to God. Through baptism, we are sent into the world to shine with the light of Christ. And with that, we will listen to our gathering hymn, Rise, Shine, You People.
God in him is centered. He comes to us by death and sin surrounded with grace unbounded. See how he sends the powers of evil reeling. He brings us freedom, light and life and healing. All men and women who by guilt are driven are forgiven. Come celebrate, banners high unfurling. Your songs and prayers against the darkness hurling. To all the world go out, tell the story of Jesus' glory. Tell how the Father sent the Son to save us. Tell of the Son who life and freedom gave us. Tell how the Spirit calls from every nation God's new creation.
Please rise as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who makes all things new, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. Trusting in God's mercy, let us confess our sin in the presence of God and one another. Holy One, source of our renewal, we confess that we are wrapped up in sin and cannot free ourselves. We have not practiced your righteousness. Our hearts have turned away from you. For the sake of the world you so love, forgive us, that we may be reconciled to one another for the glory of your holy name. Amen. Thus says our God, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. God's mercy makes us new. We are forgiven in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit is with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord God, with endless mercy, you receive the prayers of all who call upon you. By your Spirit, show us the things we ought to do, and give us the grace and power to do them. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated for the readings.
Our first reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 58, verses 1 through 9, 9 through 12. Shortly after the return of Israel from exile in Babylon, the people were troubled by the ineffectiveness of their fasts. God reminds them that outward observance is no substitute for genuine fasting that results in acts of justice, such as feeding the hungry, sheltering the homeless, and clothing the naked. Here begins the reading. Shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways. As if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask me righteousness judgments. They ask of me righteousness judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interests on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in a sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil. If you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose water never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to live in. This is the word of the Lord. Today's psalm is Psalm 112, with the antiphon, "Light shines in the darkness for the upright." Hallelujah! Happy are they who fear the Lord and have great delight in God's commandments. Their descendants will be mighty in the land. Their generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in their house, and their righteousness will last forever.
Light shines in the darkness for the upright. The righteous are merciful and full of compassion. Light shines in the darkness for the upright.
It is good for them to be generous in lending and to manage their affairs with justice.
For they will never be shaken. The righteous will be kept in everlasting remembrance.
They will not be afraid of any evil rumors. Their heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord.
Their heart is established and will not shrink until they see their desire upon their enemies.
They have given freely to the poor, and their righteousness stands forever. They will hold up their head with honor.
The wicked will see it and be angry. They will gnash their teeth and pine away. The desires of the wicked will perish. Light shines in the darkness for the upright.
And we will now listen and sing our hymn of praise, "This Little Light of Mine." Our second reading this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 31. Though people such as the Corinthians are enamored with human philosophy and wisdom, Paul continuously presents God's hidden wisdom, which is Jesus Christ crucified. True spiritual maturity involves judging ourselves and others in light of God's revelation in the cross. And here begins the reading. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were not with plausible words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Yet among the mature we do speak wisdom, though it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to perish, but we speak God's wisdom, secret and hidden, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For what human being knows what is truly human except the human spirit that is within? So also no one comprehends what is truly God's except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. And we speak of these things in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual things to those who are spiritual. Those who are unspiritual do not receive the gifts of God's Spirit, for they are foolishness to them, and they are unable to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Those who are spiritually discern all things, and they are themselves subject to no one else's scrutiny. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Please rise as you are able. Let us join together in our gospel acclamation. Alleluia. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will have the light of life. Alleluia. Our gospel today is from St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise be to Christ.
You may be seated. The comparison of ourselves to salt doesn't taste quite so well now, does it? Jesus also references us as perhaps a light hidden under a basket. How does that work for us? Jesus seems to be just full of metaphors this morning, some of them a little bit confusing and maybe just a little bit critical towards us, with the start at least of this passage. Salt is perhaps a more important commodity for us than we perhaps realize. Salt has a huge history that we all are likely unaware of. North America has a huge salt production. The main salt mines are in New York, Kansas, and our very own state of Michigan. Morton Salt has 20 locations across North America. The New York salt mines encompass a huge area stretching from Madison County to Lake Erie in Michigan to Ontario, Canada, and then back to Pennsylvania. It's known as the Finger Lakes Mine. With the construction of the Erie Canal many years ago, the entire country could receive salt, this happening after the War of 1812. This was when commercial salt production really began. Few people actually know about the Detroit salt mine. It lies underground, as most do. It has a really long history, and it really started back when Native American tribes used this salt mine. In the early days of the mine, 6 men died while working there. The Detroit Salt and Mining Company built the first shaft to reach it back in 1910. Then workers and animals were sent down on ropes to the work site. In 1922, they made a second shaft. And workers, of course, now use an elevator to reach the mine, many stories below the surface. Today, the company just sells salt from this mine for road salt, which we all need on those ugly winter mornings. The Sifto salt mine in Goderich, some of my Canadians will check my pronunciation on that. It's the world's largest underground salt mine. It's been in operation since 1959, and the mine is located approximately 1,800 feet below Lake Huron, of course, in the Canadian province of Ontario. It stretches over 1.5 miles wide by 2 miles long, and it covers an area of 2.7 million square miles. I was struggling a little with the math on that. In the time of Jesus, salt likely came from the Dead or Salt Sea, which holds in solution not less than 25 kilograms of salt in 100 kilograms of water. And of course, after every flood, upon the evaporation of the water in ditches and pools, salt is left behind. The hill Jebel Uzdum, located at the southern extremity of the Dead Sea and having a length of 10 miles, is composed almost entirely of rock salt. And from this, it was probably procured the Sodom salt that is mentioned in the Talmud. Just as salt is absolutely important for us in meals, so it was indispensable for the sacrifice, the food of God, from Leviticus 2:13. The law expressly says, "Every oblation of thy meal offering shall thou season with salt." This prescription also referred not only to this meal offering, but also to the burnt offering of animals, as it appears in Ezekiel 43:24. So with all of that, how do we feel as being referred to as salt, as Jesus tells us that we are? We apparently also have the option of being bad salt, which has lost its taste. This can only happen when too many impurities come into the salt, and then it's really not useful anymore. This is what makes bad salt bad. I'm not actually sure how they go through the process of purifying salt. No doubt the salt that they throw on the roads doesn't go through that process, which is probably expensive. How do we become impure? What is it that might make us into salt that has lost its taste? How is it that Jesus wants us to be the salt for others in the world? How does this even happen? If we go into our first passage for today, we hear God being rather angry with the people of God. They are struggling, trying to put their lives back together after they return from the exile. And we can probably imagine just how stressful this might have been for them, with them all vying for the same resources. With this stress, they are only going through the motions of their faith, not really living it. How has this been for us? With the foods that we expect to see on our grocery store shelves not being there, we find a space for it, but it's all gone. Sometimes we've gone weeks, perhaps, looking for that particular item and not been able to find it. We might go earlier or maybe even on a different day, hoping to make the purchase of that particular item. If we finally get there to see one box of it finally on the shelf, how might we respond? We probably ravenously grab it up before anyone else can get to it. What do we think then when we notice that the price seems to have gone up dramatically since the last time that we were able to buy it? What does this crisis mean to those who were barely getting by before, who do not have the resources that we have? If they were struggling before our current inflation, what must their situation be now? This is where we can be salt in our lives, in a manner in which we see that their basic needs are met through perhaps whatever agency we see as the best to take care of them, including our own Lutheran agencies that we support through our offerings each week. We also support the work of our local pantries to give a helping hand to those who are in need in our area. We are not the full portion of their lives, but the addition that helps them have hope. Like salt is really not a food, but an additive that makes food taste better. This also brings them the light that comes out from us. When Jesus tells us that we need to shine that out from ourselves, it can sort of seem like an assignment of work that we need to produce that light. Jesus really is telling us that the light is really already in us, ready to be shared with the world if we just let it come out. We don't retain it within ourselves. In fact, by the inspiration of all that Jesus teaches us, we find that we really cannot contain this within us. It comes flowing out through the love that God has placed within us. This is something that Jesus tries to get across to the Pharisees and scribes, that they too have this love of God and this light within them, that they really just need to open their hearts and share their gifts and love with all others, not just those that they see as pure. Jesus, in this passage, even seems like he's raising the bar for us when he tells us that our righteousness needs to be greater than those Pharisees and scribes. They are the foremost religious people of Jesus' time. They actually held the people together in their faith traditions after they returned to Israel from their exile to the Babylonians. We might often think of them in a negative light for how they often dealt with Jesus, but they really were not being all that contrary to what God was expecting. Jesus loves them just as much as Jesus loves us and wants us all to feel that we are a part of the kingdom that he brings into being. The Pharisees did their best to be righteous, trying to have purity by staying away from all others that they saw as impure. Jesus does want us to emulate them in their dedication to God and worship, but to take that also out into the world. This is what he means when he tells us to have righteousness greater than theirs. Jesus doesn't change what God requests of us. In fact, he makes it even clearer that we should be passionate about seeking justice and making those who are poor in spirit and perhaps food rich in both of those. As we do this, our light truly will shine out from us with the love of God that is already within us. Our generation of the righteous will be blessed. Amen.
Shine to the dark.
Christ be our light, shine in your church gathered today. Many the gifts, many the people, many the hearts that yearn to belong. Let us be servants to one another, signs of your kingdom come. Christ be our light, shine in our hearts, shine through the darkness. Christ be our light, shine in your church gathered today.
Please rise as you are able. Let us pray. Called together to follow Jesus, we pray for the church, the world, and all in need.
Call your people to seek your wisdom in difficult conversations and action. Give the church everywhere courage to repent for the ways we have tolerated and practiced injustice. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Inspire our wonder at creation, from the light of dawn to the beauty of the dark night. Sustain the unseen depths of the ocean to the plants and animals we know well. Bring healing to the lands and communities experiencing natural disasters. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Instruct the powerful in your ways. Provide upright leadership in the business and industry and fairness in labor. Throughout the world, inspire voters and raise up politicians to heed your call for nations to practice righteousness. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Loosen the bonds of injustice in our midst. Grant peace to endless quarrels. Put an end to hunger and break every yoke of oppression. Shelter all who flee abuse in their homes or violence in their communities. Satisfy those afflicted in any way with justice, especially the family of Tyree Nichols. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Comfort and nurture those in our midst who need your compassionate care, including all of our homebound. Especially this day, Lord, we pray and remember in our prayers Donna Barnish, Deb Cook, Pastor Don Dorsbacher, Sarah Mayer Flatt, Sherry Mosierak, Beverly and Ed O'Connor, Carl Rich, Douglas Weaver, David and Karen Hooven, Kirk Langoff, Tom Bachman, Pastor Joyce, Pastor Ken Stibe, and their son Mason, the family and friends of Bob Porter, Herman Bradfish, Jim Davidson, and Enoch Carlton with their passing. Those serving to protect our nation, both at home and overseas, Lord, we pray that they may return home safely. Let us either silently or aloud pray for our own intentions and people in need. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Shape our congregation to be salt for the earth. Give us delight in your commandments, that we are generous with those in need. Make us steadfast in our trust in you, ready with tangible mercy and compassion for our neighbors. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
The cross and resurrection bring redemption from sin and death. We praise you for all whose unshaken faith in Christ shines forth in their witness. Keep them in our remembrance and bring us with them into the kingdom of heaven. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. We bring to you our needs and hopes, O God, trusting your wisdom and power revealed in Christ crucified. Amen. Amen. You may be seated for the offering.
We thank those who continue to support the Christian ministry here at Our Savior Lutheran Church. And a few announcements this morning, very brief. Again, we would like to welcome Carol as our accompanist this morning. We would also like to extend a depth of gratitude and thanks for Kathy and Doug Cole for the last few weeks assisting Pastor Don and the Dorsbacher family and going through what I imagine to not be an easy process, but to go through his office. And we also, at this time, I would personally like to send a thank you to Denver for assisting myself and my husband Brad in the last couple of years. We get a lot of thanks, you know, thank you for all that we do, but we really couldn't have done it without our son. So that's a big high five to Petey. The son was baptized here, communed here, and for a short while, soccer took him away, but he came back, and we really, really thank him. And with that, I guess one more announcement. In a couple of weeks, we will be having our church council meeting the second Tuesday of February at 7 o'clock, church basement. All are welcome to attend. And with that, our offering prayer this morning. Liberating God, you break the bonds of injustice and let the oppressed go free. Receive these offerings in thanksgiving for all your works of merciful power, and shape us as people of your justice and freedom. You we magnify and adore, through Jesus our Savior. Amen. Amen. Our offering hymn this day, Take My Life That I May Be.
Take my life that I may be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as thou shalt choose. Take my will and make it thine, in it no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own, it shall be thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at thy feet, its treasure store. Take myself, and I will be ever only all for thee.
Please rise as you are able. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son. And in the miracle of water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy One, the beginning and the end, the giver of life. Blessed are you for the birth of creation. Blessed are you in the darkness and in the light. Blessed are you for your promise to your people. Blessed are you in the prophet's hopes and dreams. Blessed are you for Mary's openness to your will. Blessed are you for your Son Jesus, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Let us proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen, Christ will come again. With this bread and cup, we remember your word dwelling among us, full of grace and truth. We remember our new birth in his death and resurrection. We look with hope for his coming. Come, Lord Jesus. Holy God, we long for your Spirit. Come among us, bless this meal. May your word take flesh in us. Awaken your people. Fill us with your light. Bring the gift of peace on earth. Come, Holy Spirit. All praise and glory are yours, Holy One of Israel, Word of God incarnate, power of the Most High, one God, now and forever. Amen. And now let us pray with confidence in the words that our Savior gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come and taste the joy of God. You may be seated until we call you forward. body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you.
Amen.
The body of Christ given for you. 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 Good to see you. The body of Christ given for 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 you. Christ given for you. The body of 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 Christ given for you. Body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. Of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you.
The body of Christ shed for you, Pastor.
Amen.
The blood of Christ shed for you.
Amen. Please rise as you are able. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Holy One, we thank you for the healing that springs forth abundantly from this table. Renew our strength to do justice, love kindness, and journey humbly with you. Amen. Now may the God who faithfully brings forth justice and breaks the oppressor's rod bless, strengthen, and uphold you today and always. Amen. You may be seated for the sending hymn, which is We Are Marching in the Light. Almost need to stand at this, and if you just feel that way, just go right ahead. Marching in the light of God, we are marching in the light of God. We are marching in the light of God. We are marching in the light of God. We are marching, we are marching. We are marching in the light of God. We are marching, we are marching. We are marching in the light of God. We are dancing 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 in the light of God. We are dancing, dancing. We are dancing. We are dancing in the light of God. We are dancing. We are dancing. We are dancing in the light of God. We are praying 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 in the light of God. We are praying, we are praying. We are praying in the light of God. We are praying, we are praying. We are praying in the light of God. We are singing 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 in the light of God. We are singing, singing, we are singing. We are singing in the light of God. We are singing, we are singing. We are singing in the light of God.
Go in peace, follow the way of Jesus.
Thanks be to God.